Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Introduction is like for your moms and dads. That's not really for you, right? What about this one? I sing in the shower. How about that? Do you sing in the shower? I do because the acoustics are way better. I get almost all my good ideas in the shower. What else about me? I like to throw parties. I often throw my own birthday parties because I can do a really good job at it, and so nobody else takes the time. I don't know. Anyway, I love throwing parties. That's really fun. I like going hiking, and I do sort of have a passion for relationships. I'm kind of a relationship studier. Do you have something that you're passionate about, maybe? Just a little bit? Yeah, kind of. What are some things that you're passionate about? You're raising your hand. Or did you just want to make a shake? Oh, okay. What are you passionate about? Your family. That's an awesome thing to be passionate about. Seriously, I'm passionate about my family too. I wonder if some of you might be good at a particular thing. What are you passionate about? Come up and say.
I like to sing and make up stories.
To sing and make up stories. That's very creative. Very organized and creative. You're probably going to be really good at math if you're a good singer. Because in order to keep pitch, you kind of have to have a mathematical brain. That's fantastic. What are you passionate about? Were you going to say something? Somebody raised a hand back there. Who was it?
I was considering making bacon.
Bacon. Have you seen that bacon guy? Sorry, we're not going to talk about the bacon guy. Anyway, story making. This is a very creative thing to be able to make stories. Do you know you probably could be a public speaker someday? Yeah, maybe you don't want to. Write a book instead. They're all fun. What are you passionate about?
Well, I just wanted to say that my scout leader's name is Brother Bacon, so he actually is the bacon guy.
The bacon. Does he tell bacon jokes?
Nobody likes to cook with bacon.
Bacon's good. The bacon guy, he says bacon is good on everything. I don't know. I don't know who he is. Okay, so I don't even know. Let's see. I got a PowerPoint here. Do you want to see it? Let's see what happens. So my title of my talk, whoa, I didn't do this. They'll get all mad. My name is Nicolene Peck, and my title is Your Success Team. What did I call it? I called it Building Your Success Team, right? Or something like that. That's a great title. Okay. Hey, do you like that little bubble? I made that all on my own. I've been learning how to do PowerPoints. It's very fun. It's a good skill. And so I'm practicing on you. I actually know how to do PowerPoints, but following the PowerPoint, now that could be something completely different. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about the idea of mission or some of the things that you are passionate about. Because you know, raise your hand if you're over the age of 11. Is that like everyone? Good. Okay. That's like, or if you're smart enough to be 11 or older and you're here. There might be a few of those. Okay. So you, I don't believe it for a second. All right. So, hey, listen, I used to be a liar. I'll tell you that story later. You're not a very good one. Okay. So I believe in mission. I'm standing before you today because I am the kind of person that believes that you have to have a purpose in life, that you have to do something special with your life. And coming and doing stuff like this, and writing books, and making movies and stuff, that's part of my purpose. It's part of my mission, and my mission is passion, just like yours, strengthening families. That's what I do. But it even goes deeper than that. It goes to relationships. Okay, so if you're over the age of 11 years old, there's some people you might have relationships with. Yeah? Probably. We're going to talk about a lot of those people today. You see this guy right here? Benjamin Franklin. He is awesome. He was one of the first, his writings was one of the first classics that I actually read. Do you read classics? I'm guessing you read some books, you know, maybe like Dickens, sometimes Jane Austen, Shakespeare, the Bible, stuff, right? Stuff like that. Yeah, classics. Okay, we could probably take time and just list why we think classics are classics and what they're so awesome about, but I want to take just a minute and talk, if I can, about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin did something that was so heroic. See, he knew he had a purpose in life. He knew he was kind of extra special, which, by the way, every single person is, okay? Extra special, and we all have something we're supposed to do, some plan that God has for us. We may not know exactly what it is yet, but we get ideas like, what are you passionate about? Well, maybe somehow that passion, if you nurture it, is going to lead you to something that it is that God wants you to do. So he knew that, and he did something that was so bold, that was so brave. Let me tell you what he did. He sat down and he made a list. Really? See the gasps from the audience. No, it's true. He made a list. Have you ever done it before? Good on ya. Good job. Okay, so some of you have made a list before, but his list was extra special. He looked at himself and he said, I don't like this about me, and I don't like this about me, and I don't like this and this and this. And he listed 13 things that he didn't like about him. Then he did something even more bold. He said, I'm going to fix these things. One by one, I'm going to go through this list, and I'm going to fix them. And then he went one by one through the list and fixed them, and took him years. But after that, everybody sought his counsel. Everybody knew he had a power. Any guesses on what his power was just by doing that list? Who said that? Motivation. He definitely knew how to motivate himself. Yes? Humility. Oh, that's a huge power. Yes, he definitely had that. Yes? He was influential. Yes, he was influential because of that list. Because he did something with that list, yes?
He was kind.
He definitely was kind. I think that was probably one of the things he was working on, for sure, yes?
Determined.
Determined! Whoa, I love that word. See my word up there? Deliberately. He, like, on purpose did something, yes?
He had a strong willpower,
he says. And right here? Definitely curious, because he was an inventor. We know that about him, right? He was amazing. But you know what? He was like a regular guy. The only difference about this regular guy and me and you is he went, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a list. And then I'm going to fix every single problem about myself. And once he fixed himself, he could fix the problems in the world. And that's what he did. And my favorite person, Edith Ann, she always says, and that's the truth. Okay. I do little skits all the time, and my kids always want me to be Edith Ad. And I always say, hi, my name is Edith Ad, and I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. So I want to talk to you today about your four key relationships, which are your bridge to success. So please raise your hand if you're going to be a success. Not everyone? Come on. Try it out. Feels good. Raise your hand if you're going to be a success. Come on. Oh, good. Some of you, you're just being a little defiant, but that's all right. I can take it. Okay. So everybody's going to be a success. What does success mean? Does that mean like you make a certain amount of money? Or does that mean that you like are happy? Or what does it mean? Yeah, trying your hardest has a lot to do with it. You're totally right. Yes?
You do what you
want to
do.
You do what you want to do, or maybe even deeper than that, what you know you need to do. There's sometimes, isn't there something inside you sometimes that you know you need to do something? How many of you want to be an incredible parent when they grow up? Good on you. How many of you want to get a really good paying job? How many of you want to be a smart person? The kind of person that people come to for answers. Because that usually goes with good paying job, just so you know. Okay, so all of you pretty much want all of these things. Do you know what that requires? It requires being a scholar. Have you heard that term before? Scholar? Yeah? No? Maybe not? That's what happens when you're really, really intensely studying. And when you're a scholar, you need people. There's no way that you can do it alone. How many hours does it take, do you think, to learn everything you need to know to get to college? Any ideas? Yeah? 12 hours? I wish. Wow, that'd be something. No, what do you think? As long as you want, that's true. If you study, some people might go to college not completely ready. But let's say you were going to go to a really, like, really smart college, and you wanted to be really ready. How long would it take you to read a whole bunch of classics? It could be 4 years. It's 5,000 hours of study, starting from the time you're about age 12. 5,000 hours. It's quite a bit, huh? And if you back that up, do 5,000 divided by 52 weeks. That's in a year. That'll tell you how much study you need to do every week. And then do whatever that number is divided by 5. Or however many days you're going to study in that week, in each week. And then you'll know how many hours you have to study every single day from age 12 until age, like, 18 or whatever. Unless you want to go to college earlier at 16, then you might need to have less years, right? Anyway, so try to, oh, wait, 5,000 hours, not divided by 52. You'd have to divide it by however many years first, then by 52. Sorry, my math was off. Anyway, figuring that out is important. Now, here's the deal. Even if you do that much study, there's still more that you need. And you can't do it all on your own. It's really difficult. There are 4 key relationships. The first one is relationship to God. That is for sure our number one most important. I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about it because I think your parents probably work that one with you a lot, huh? Okay, and I probably would tell you a whole bunch of things you already know. I could maybe tell you things you don't too, but I want to focus on some other ones that I think maybe you don't talk about as much. So relationship to God is the first one, number one, most important. People who don't have a good relationship with God don't often succeed as easily as people who do. Because they don't find their purpose very easily. It takes more hunting and pecking. If you keep a good relationship with God, then you oftentimes are able to find what it is he wants you to do. I want to tell you some relationship basics, and these relationship basics have to do with your relationship with God as well as all the other relationships that we're going to talk about today. First, you have to learn the language. What language does God speak? Yeah? Yeah, he said, by the voice of the Holy Ghost. That is the language God speaks. Uh-huh, other comments? Adamic. What's that? Adamic. Wow, you're going to learn that one?
Probably not in this life.
No, probably not, right? But he can speak to us, like he said, through the Holy Ghost, too. Is that what you were going to say?
Spiritual.
Spiritual language. It is. Have you ever heard anybody use the term your spiritual eyes? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Look at it through your spiritual eyes. Some people talk that way. Well, in order to know what it is that God wants you to do, you have to learn how he talks to you. Have you ever prayed for answers to prayers before? Yeah, have you? I hope you all try sometime. Let me tell you a little secret. Something that I didn't learn until after I was married, and I was so sad that I hadn't learned this sooner. And that is that I can actually ask God how he talks to me. So if I decide something and I want to give him to give me confirmation of the Spirit, that's what it's called, when he tells me through the Spirit what
is right and what is wrong. Then I can ask him. So I got down on my knees one day and I said, Heavenly Father, please make my body feel like what it feels when the confirmation of the Spirit is yes. When the answer is yes. And then I waited. And then I said, please help my body feel like what it feels like when confirmation of the Spirit answer is no. And I waited and I felt. And guess what? Ever since then, I have been able to feel, usually, unless he doesn't want me to know right then, but usually I have been able to feel what it is that he wants me to know, whether yes or no. Understanding his language, that language is vitally important. Next, learn the skills. There are certain skills that go along with communication in every single relationship, no matter the kind. And we're going to talk about some of those different skills in lots of different kinds of relationships today. So learning the skills is important. What kind of skills do you think you need for your relationship with God? What do you think?
Strong faith.
Yes, you have to strengthen your faith. That's a good one. What else? Yes? Yeah, reading the scriptures, because how often does he speak to us through the scriptures, right? Absolutely.
Patience.
That is a skill, isn't it? That's a hard one for many people. Yes?
Obedience.
You mean like say okay. So when Heavenly Father says, you need to go on a mission, then you say okay. Or when Heavenly Father tells you whatever it is that you need to call that neighbor, you need to go rake all their leaves, that you say, okay, I'm going to go and do that. Yes?
Commitment.
Ooh, commitment. That's a great skill, to know how to keep yourself focused on what it is that he wants you to do. Wow, you guys are amazing. Okay, next, communicate effectively with gratitude in your heart. Now, of course, you're going to see how that applies to Heavenly Father. Have you ever just said, I'm thankful for all my blessings? Have you ever said that before? It's so different when you say, Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for a mother who loves me and who helps me learn how to sew my dress for church. I'm so thankful for a father that's got a good job, and da-da-da-da. When you talk that way to Heavenly Father, that's communicating more effectively and definitely shows more gratitude. Okay, return and report. Whenever Heavenly Father wants us to do something, we know that we're supposed to return and report to him. Tell him how it went. And seek other counsel. The same thing goes for many, many other relationships. Have you ever used return and report in any other relationships? Yes?
Yeah.
In what, with your parents or with a teacher? Or?
Well, yeah, kind of with the teacher. For the last over a year, I've been doing tools with my friend and mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Different things, and I report to him every weekday on what I've done.
Nice. So he's got a mentor who he reports to. Every week, right?
Every weekday.
So every single day, they set goals and you report. Wonderful. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, there's our picture. Okay, so relationship number two is the parents' relationship. I think I just heard somebody groan. I hope you're not groaning. Oh, no. I knew I didn't trust this parenting lady. Why did I come to that class? I'm kidding. Anyway, okay. I want to talk a little bit about the word relate. Because relate is the key word for relationship. And so if we're going to talk about our parents, I think we need to understand what it means to relate to our parents. So the actual definition of relate is to have reference or respect and to regard. Okay, so regard, that's an interesting word, isn't it? What does regard mean? By the way, I looked all these up in the 1828 dictionary, if you have one of those Webster's 1828 dictionaries. I could read that book.
You can learn so much from that dictionary if you ever have one. I keep one with me when I study. That book tells you everything. Literally, just about everything, except for, you know, scriptural things and stories. But did you know that all learning is vocabulary? Like, let's say, for instance, the word multiply. Do you know what that means? Yeah, it means to times something by itself or by something else a certain number of times. What if I said denominator? Do you know what that means? Right, it's the bottom part of a fraction, right? What if I said charity? Do you know what that means? The pure love of Christ. Right, long-suffering. People could probably quote that scripture because you've probably taken time to learn what that means. What does the word hate mean? Extreme dislike for someone, right? The opposite of liking and loving somebody. We've maybe felt it before or seen somebody do it before, so we know what it is. So I look up really common words all the time. Do you know what the word lady means? The word lady, it means the lady or the person, the female person in the house who is privileged enough to knead the bread dough every day. That is what it means. And a person is not a lady until they are the person who kneads the bread dough. That's it. So you better get going, girls. If you want to grow up, you want to be a lady. Okay, regard. The word regard means respect, esteem, reverence, admiration, demanding notice. Reverence. Interesting. So if you have a relationship with somebody, you have reverence toward them. So that makes sense when we're talking about with Heavenly Father, right? But what about with our parents? Do you feel reverent when you're around your parents? No? What would that be like if you actually had reverence for them? You revered them, yes?
It means that like, you aren't disrespecting them and stuff like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't disrespect them. You would actually, like, honor them, right? Like the commandment said, honor thy father and mother. I wrote down here that regard is the opposite of indifference. What is indifference? Any ideas? Yeah?
Not caring.
Not caring. Do you know that some people think the opposite of love is just hate? But actually, the real opposite of love is indifference. Because when you hate somebody, it's because you usually did love them at one point, and then you hate them. Indifference is completely not caring. It's total selfishness. So if you don't regard someone, if you don't have a real relationship with them, and you don't relate to them, then you probably are in that selfish place where you're just completely indifferent to them. And hopefully that's nobody in here. Respect. We hear that word a lot, right? How we should respect people, respect our parents. And luckily, that word is still alive and happening because respect is the root for good relationships. So respect means to regard, attention, estimation, or honor in which men hold distinguished worth. When you respect someone, they feel valuable to you. Do you think of your parents that way? I hope so. When they tell you, go clean your room, it's your dish night, get going, do you look at them and feel about them that they have value in your life? Somebody's laughing. That probably means maybe you didn't consider that before, huh? Or maybe you get an attitude problem. Have you ever done this one where you're like, oh, whatever. You've done that? Good on you for being honest. That's so good. Okay. Have you ever done the one where you go, why do you always ask me? What about Jane? Have you ever done that one before? Oh, man. I love the honesty in the room. Everyone's like, ee, ouch, ouch. Okay. It happens. I gotta tell you, one of the reasons that I am like the parenting guru is because I was the parent's worst nightmare. Okay? I really was. I think my parents got all their gray hairs from me. Those poor, poor parents. So, how do you know if things are going good? If you're really regarding your parents, you're relating to them, you're respecting them, they have worth to you. How do you know? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Yeah? Did you hear that? He said, your house is peaceful and everybody's happy and you respect your parents, and they know that, right? So there's a certain feeling. That's really our best indication. It's not like, oh, I got another popsicle today. That's 3 in 1 day. Things are good, right? That is not necessarily the sign of a good life. Popsicles, temporary. It's feeling of respect, permanent. Yep?
I think it's when you're able to talk to your parents about anything. Like,
oh.
Just anything.
So she says, when you're able to talk to your parents about everything, do you want that? Like, you, when you said that, I was like, that's what she wants. Her ideal relationship with her family, with her parents, is open communication, where they can just talk about anything. And she probably has it. I don't know. If not, you're going to work on it, right? Okay, because she's going to value them. What were you going to say over here? Say it a little bit louder for me.
If it feels like the temple in your home.
If it feels like the temple in your home. Did I just spit on you, son?
No, sorry. I don't think so.
Okay. You know, I'm a thespian at heart, so I don't always swallow my spit. Okay. Anyway, that is such an amazing way to say it. So if it feels like the temple in your home, then that means it feels sacred. Right? A holy place where everyone is safe and feels special. So how do you know when it's going bad? Oh, you're ready. Okay, how do you know?
When you and your brothers or sisters are fighting.
Oh.
Your parents are yelling at you and stuff.
Oh. All of a sudden, the noise in the house goes up, right? The anger and the frustration. Back there, how do you know when it's going wrong? Mm-hmm. Definitely, when you're constantly arguing with your parents. So, okay, go ahead.
When everybody's fighting.
What about if people just aren't talking to each other? What if it's like... Have you ever... Yeah?
And when the spirit's not there.
The spirit isn't there, because what happens when somebody's like, I'm not talking to you? Then you... That's right. He did this thing with his hands. Psh! They broke apart, there becomes a separation in your relationship, right? Yes, that's what happens. And it feels horrible. Doesn't it make you feel like inside you're like, oh, this feels so uncomfortable. You know that feeling where you kind of have that, it's like an anxious feeling inside. You feel like your clothes don't fit right or something, and it's just weird. That feeling happens, and you don't know what to do, and so sometimes you just go hide in your room and turn on your music and pretend it doesn't exist. Have you ever done that? Yeah. That's not the right way, just so you know. So what you should do instead is that's when you should go and talk to your parents and say, it doesn't feel right. What can we do to make a change? You don't point fingers at them. Maybe mom just lost control, but you say, Mom, I'm sorry. It doesn't feel right. Can we do it again? What if, when your parents lost control, you were the leader in the relationship? What if you were the voice of calmness instead of yelling back? What would happen? I want to tell you a really personal story from my past. Like I said, was a really probably bad kid. I terrorized my poor parents. And I was always arguing with them, all the time. I was yelling and having attitude problems. It was terrible. My dad would stay up with me at night until 2 and 3 in the morning, giving me lectures to try and just somehow touch my heart. He was trying, and I was not taking it, because in my opinion, he was out of control. And so there was no way he was going to be able to change me. Do you see what I did? I chose to have what's called a power struggle. It's not effective. It started to ruin our relationship. Well, one day, I was over at a friend's house. It was actually one of my young women leaders, and I was over at her house with her daughter. And they said, hey, let's have a fun party, and we'll invite all the youth over, and we'll have this party. And I said, okay, and we started planning it. And then I say, well, you guys have a good time, but I won't be able to be there, because my parents, they don't let me do anything anymore. They're like, what do you mean? You gotta come, you help plan it. And I said, no, I promise you, they won't let me come. All we do is fight. So all of a sudden, I started dumping out my guts to my young women's leader and telling her all the things that were happening in my relationship, especially with my dad. And she said to me something that changed my life forever. She said, Nicolene, have you ever just thought of saying okay? I was like, what? That will not work. Okay? He doesn't respect me, and all we do is fight. How is saying okay going to fix it? She said, Nicolene, if you say okay, you will get more of what you want. I was amazed by that. So she said, I'll tell you what, we'll postpone the party for 2 weeks. You go home, every time your parents tell you to do something, just say okay. Just cheerfully say okay. No questions asked. And see if in 2 weeks they'll let you go. I was like, wow, what an idea. But I really didn't think it would work. But I said, okay, I'll try it. I promised her I wanted to go to the party. So I went home, and every time my mom or dad asked me to do something, I said, okay. And they went, I mean, it was just like, what? Who are you? And what have you done with our child? I mean, I was really shocking, I think, to them, truly. And so I said, okay. And then an amazing thing happened. After a couple of days, I said, hey, can I have friends over for this? And they said, sure. Hey, can I go here for this and that and the other? Sure. What? How did that happen? Why did that happen? Do you know? Why? Yeah, why?
Because when you are trustworthy, they trust you more.
When you're trustworthy, they trust you more. That is so good. Right back there?
Because you are being reactive. You are being proactive. You can't change the situation. You can't change your parents. But you can change the way you deal with that problem.
Did you hear that? She said, you weren't being reactive, you were being proactive. You can't change your parents, but you can change yourself. You can change the way that you deal with the situation. Very insightful. How old are you, like 30? Good job. Okay, right here.
You did what they told you to do, so they know that they can trust
you. Yeah, because I actually established a relationship again, right? I showed them, I regard you. I have honor to you. I reverence you. And when they felt that, they went, oh, we're on the same team, right? Then all of a sudden, I got special privileges because of that. Yes? Yes. When you respect them, then they'll respect you. That's exactly how it works. So what do you do? Do you stress about it? Do you get an attitude problem? Do you get mad? I like him. Look how many teeth you can count him. Okay, I want to talk to you about the RBA. So what you do is you say, okay, guys, it's really not hard. And you know what I realized? I realized that if I said okay, I actually was in control of my total happiness. I could plan it. I could plan my happiness and my success, all because I chose to say okay. It gave me all the control. If I chose to whine, I'd have to fight for control, and I might not get it. If I chose to have an attitude problem, again, I'd have to fight and fight, and it probably could turn out worse unless I wore my parents down, which maybe could happen if I was really cunning and good and angry. Okay, honesty versus manipulation. Honesty is, just like that gal said, I can take control of who I am. Manipulation is, it's somebody else's fault. They don't ever let me do anything. They're always angry at me. And when we talk to our parents, when we're getting angry and upset, we're choosing to be manipulative, which is actually a lie. It's dishonesty, okay? Honesty is when you actually look at yourself and you go, you know, I have a responsibility to you. We have a relationship. I have high regard for you. So how should I treat you? I think I'm going to say okay. I think I'm going to give you a hug today. Have you heard of an RBA before? A relationship bank account. This I stole from Stephen Covey. And what he says is that every person has like a bank account. And that your bank account, every time you give somebody praise or you do something good for somebody, it's like putting money in somebody else's bank account. But then when you're mean to somebody, it's like withdrawing all that money out of the bank account. So with your parents, if you say okay and you do your chores and you do all those things, you're putting deposits into that bank account. So then guess what they're going to do to your bank account? They're going to put deposits into your bank account. But what if you all of a sudden just had this huge attitude problem, this fit, because you couldn't go to something or you couldn't wear something that you wanted or you didn't get cookies after dinner or whatever, then what's going to happen? You're going to rip all that money out of their relationship bank account. Guess where the relationship bank account lives? In your heart. That's where it lives. So remember that each person has a bank account inside their hearts and that you have a responsibility to keep yours full. Okay, I want to tell you quickly about levels of communication, really fast. This will help you communicate better with all the people you relate to in your life. The first level of the communication, like the lowest level, you don't care about the person very much, but maybe a little bit, or maybe you don't have time, or whatever it is, it's just pleasantries. Hi, how are you? You know, you look really cute today. I haven't seen you for a long time. How come you didn't email me? Blah, blah. Okay, that's pleasantries. Then number two is stating the facts. So last night I went to this basketball game and so-and-so dunked it and da-da-da-da. You're just stating the facts. Then number three is how you feel. You know, I just passed so-and-so at church and I just got this warm feeling inside. And I just feel like I want to go and talk to them and see if they're okay or whatever like that. Or you tell somebody, you know, right now I'm feeling really sad. Okay, number four. This is the level, guys. Number four. That is the level where you want to communicate with all the people who are most important in your life. I mean, you want to use all those, but number four is where it's at. If you want to have a good relationship when you're married or with your friends or, you know, teachers, parents, everything, what you need. If you can communicate, this is a level where ideas are expressed, where you talk about deep things like the levels of communication, okay? Or maybe you tell them, you know, I need to have more time with you. I need our relationship to feel like this. Every single week, you should have time to talk with your parents about your needs. If you don't have that time, ask them for it. Tell them that you need it. It is one of your relationships you must have to be successful. If you don't master your relationship with your parents, all of your other relationships in life will suffer. Whether you're on a mission, married, in a job, at college, your parent relationship affects every single relationship you have. Oh, here's my, I already told you this story. Oh, or disagree appropriately. If you're not going to say okay, make sure that you disagree appropriately. The way that I disagree appropriately is you say, I know that you don't want me to go to that party, but I promised so-and-so that I would attend and that I would bring brownies. Since I made a commitment, I really feel like I should go. Would you be okay if I went to the party even though I know you don't like the idea? Do you see how that's like, you never let me go? Do you see the difference between the two? Disagree appropriately means you state their side first. I understand this is how you feel and why. This is what I feel and why. It's called disagree appropriately, and it's magic. If you disagree appropriately with your parents, oh, the privileges that come. Not that that's the reason you should do it. You should do it because you love them and you regard them as your parents. But I promise you that if you show that much self-government, they will be very impressed. I want you to ask yourself a question. What is the one thing I need to do to repair my relationship? Write it down right now, whatever it is, with your parents. What is the one thing that you need to do to repair your relationship with your parents? Do all this. Okay, friends. Friends is the next relationship that we want to talk about. I need helpers. Okay. Is there anyone who knows how to make one of these? Yeah? Okay, you in the blue shirt and glasses. That's you down there, glasses on the head. Okay, and you in the checkered shirt. And I know, okay. Checkered shirt and, wait, you have to stay up here. Whoa, and don't make it yet. Okay, everybody can be at the table. Let's see, right here in the stripes. Okay. All right, everybody at the table. Raise your hand, you four, if you're right-handed. You're all right-handed. Okay, put your right hand behind your back. Okay, make one of those with your left hand. Go. However way you want. It doesn't matter. Any kind of paper airplane. That's what we're making. And we're going to give you exactly, like, I don't know, 45 seconds to do it. It doesn't matter what kind it is, just a paper airplane.
Does it need to fly?
That would probably be good. Okay, we're about at our 45 second here. Are we? How are we coming? Okay. Da na 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 na. Okay, good. Come stand up here at the front. Okay, come stand up here at the front. I want to show you this, guys, and so because this is really important about your friend's relationship. That's all right. It's all good. Okay. Oh, good job. She stayed true. Okay. Now, I want the two of you, you and blue shirt, I don't know your names. I'm sorry. I should look. Anyway, be partners. And then I want you two to be partners. Now, I want you to hold your airplanes. You can use both hands now. Back up. Okay, back up, like, over there. Okay, you're here. Okay, get a ways away from each other. All right. Now, I want you to hold your airplanes ways away from each other. Yep, there you go. I want you to hold your airplanes in your right hand. And then I want you to simultaneously throw your airplanes at your partner, and they catch it with their hands. Okay, so you're going to do it at the same time. Ready, set, go. Huh. Try it again. Here we go. Ready, set, go. Hey, you guys are pretty good. Okay, now I want you to make a new flying object. Open up your paper airplane, whatever one you're holding. Okay, open it all back up again. I know, you spend all that time. It's okay. Okay, now I want you to take that paper airplane paper and I want you to wad it up in a ball. Wad it up in a ball. Okay, now hold it in your right hand. I want you to make eye contact with your partner. Ready, set, go. Okay, we got a little bit more catches. Okay, try one more time. Ready, set, go. Yes! Woohoo! Okay, you can keep those balls as a souvenir. Thanks, guys. Go ahead and sit down. So, woohoo! Okay, now normally we would discuss this for a little bit, but how hard was it to make that plane? Was it kind of difficult? Like, you knew what you were doing, but felt sort of awkward, right?
Yes.
And in your mind, what kind of a thing did you want to make? You wanted to make this violin, or not violin, airplane that looked really cool, right? You wanted to try to make something that looked like the picture, maybe? And then when you threw it, how hard was it to catch? It was pretty hard, huh? I mean, they actually did pretty good. If we would have had to back you up, it would have done maybe even worse. But then we took it and we wadded it into a ball. How much time did that take? And how many hands did I let you use? Two hands, wadded it in a ball, and how easy was it to catch compared to the airplane?
Lots
fear. Okay, here's my point with friends, okay? My point is, oftentimes, we very inadequately try to make ourselves like the airplane. We do it not even knowing exactly what we're doing. Dressing a certain way, saying cool, trendy words, talking about the latest shows, and playing the right game, and all that other stuff that we is just like an airplane. It's like we don't even know what we're doing, like we're trying to make it look right. We're trying to make it look just like it should like. But in the end, when we throw it out there to our friends, is it very easy to catch? No. Because it's like not dense enough. There's not enough weight in it. That wadded up ball has something very special. Gravity. It has a center of gravity that's different than the airplane, and it's much easier to catch, and it's much more real. It's much more who you are. Do you have friends, possibly at church or in other areas of your life, that you feel like you have to try to impress? Don't shake your heads. I don't want to know, but do you? I remember I used to have friends I wanted to impress. And in the end, I worried so much about impressing them that I became kind of like one of those airplanes. But by the time I turned about 15 years old, I met a special friend. She became my best friend. And she and I understood each other. We were so much the same. And we loved each other with our hair done or without. Okay? No makeup. Eating 3-day-old pizza. It didn't matter. We cared about each other in a real way. With your friends, be who you are. Do not live a lie. Humility makes you real. It is your power. And kindness is the way that it manifests itself to every person you meet. Love your friends. Learn the skills that you need to communicate with them. Don't just talk about yourself all the time. That's a sign that you're trying to make yourself into an airplane instead of a paper ball. If everything is about you, a relationship is about honoring and caring for somebody else. So make sure you do that. I was going to talk also about the mentor relationship, but I don't have time. I'm so sorry. Maybe some other time they'll ask me back here and I can tell you all about the mentor relationship. But I do want to tell you one thing really special. If you guys sign up at my booth, everybody at this conference, if you have an email or if your parents have an email or whatever, everybody at this conference is going to get a book. The book was written by homeschool youth in my area. It's an ebook and it's free. And I'm going to send it to you. And it's called I'm Not a Teenager and Here's Why. And it is awesome. It was written by teens aged 12 to 15. Actually, it was written by youth. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. I want you to have power in your lives. That's why I'm here. I want you to be the kind of people who change the world. That's why I'm here. And the way that you change the world is by really understanding how to connect with somebody else. Just like throwing those paper balls. You have to be catchable. You have to be somebody that people want to catch and are able to. You have a power and a purpose in this life. And your relationships will help you get there. Thanks, everybody.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.